Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, that is working with archetypes or stories that we're destined to tell in our lives, things that hold lots and lots of loaded energy for us, either excited energy or scared energy, just a lot of energy. And the way that we tell those stories often has to do with how much we're connected with our authentic self. Sometimes our culture makes us tell stories a certain way that makes us lose energy around the storytelling. Sometimes our culture, sometimes our families, or sometimes we're just in a place where we have an outmoded belief system and we need to let go of it and find something more fresh and new and more alive that's calling us. So if you're interested in those topics of archetypal psychology or also the topics of metaphysics, the topics of connecting with a deeper sense of who we are, our intuition, then you're in the right place. This is a forum for all of those things. I've had shows on chakras, had shows on the tarot, had shows on any kind of symbol system that holds meaning for us in our lives. And so I encourage people to look at your own life and figure out what holds meaning for you now so that you're able to live your life in a way that is authentic and that honors who you really are and who you are becoming. I also want to give a shout out to some of the other shows on the air. With Insights Radio is privileged to have a wonderful, wonderful group of folks who bring shows to the air every week. Iggy Garcia and his sister Rosa put together a wonderful show called With Insights, which they often do readings online and just share spiritual topics of the day and help us connect on a deeper level. Then on Wednesday, Heather Tapia has a show called the Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour, which is for those people out there who are working on figuring out how to connect with our calling in a deeper way, and need support as entrepreneurs, as women and men in business and small business that are working to really have an impact in the world on a soulful level. And then on Saturday night at midnight, I believe it is, Mudtoast Sasquatch, it will be sharing his insights and wisdom. He's written a wonderful blog on Facebook. Not sure that he's doing that anymore, but if you have any chance to connect with his writing, he just has a wonderful, wonderful way of bringing images and different themes to life, and he's just a wonderful writer. So check out his show as well. And you're listening tonight to With Insights Radio. If you are willing to, just click on the button there that says follow so we can see your shiny face and know that you're following the show, and that way you'll get updates for the Tuesday shows that are airing in the near future. I want to just give a shout out to my guest last week, Ellen Siegel. Ellen Siegel just wrote a book called Happy No Matter What, and we had a wonderful conversation. She's a therapist in the area, does heart-centered counseling, and we had a wonderful conversation about the book that she is writing and about how to be happy no matter what, and it was really a wonderful hour, so I encourage you to check that out on November 13th. Then I have some gaps in my schedule here, so I will have to really be on the ball and find some guests quickly or share my own stories. And then to let you know that on December 11th, Deborah Wright will be on the show. Actually, this is kind of fun. Deborah Wright was the first person to ever be on Inner Voice way back, 2.5 years ago when I started doing the show. Iggy asked me if I would do a show, and I talked about the work I was doing. I had just finished up my master's and was working to promote my own counseling and reading business at the time. And he asked me to do a show about the intuitive work that I do, and it was just such a wonderful experience. I remember being terrified at the time, right? I had to put up this picture of this woman that was in the middle of this mandala, and I looked at that so that I could talk on the radio and not be too scared. And it was just very funny. And Iggy really threw me some hard questions, some questions that I really had to think a lot about karma, and I had to think about past lives. I had to think about things and really rigorously kind of figure out what it was I felt about some of these larger issues. But it was a lot of fun. And after the show, Iggy asked me if I wanted to do my own show, and I leapt at the chance, right? Because I really am big into this idea that we're experiencing a huge change right now in our lives, that we are all on the path to ascension, and that our universe is speeding up. Our interactions and the way that we are functioning in the universe is speeding up, and the way that we are on a quantum level, right, our body and mind connection is speeding up as well. And so I really am a big endorser of this kind of new thought movement and the idea that we really can put our intentions out there into the universe and see them in an impactful way mirrored back to us. And I really encourage folks, when you're doing that work, not to hold on to those definitions of what it is you want to manifest too tightly, because that's when we kind of lose the energy of our dreams and our ambitions. I encourage you to hold them lightly or softly, and I'll bet that you'll find that over time, you have been able to materialize most of what you wanted. If you're positive and you keep your eye on what it is you want to materialize, and you're not too hard on yourself about how that goes, that usually the things that we want to manifest do happen to us in one way or another, and our lives do start to mirror our most inspired dreams. And I always say our most insistent dreams, because that's how the intuition works, right? The intuition works. It's not like this big conk on the head like a lot of people are looking for. And so I think people miss it sometimes because they're looking for this big conk on the head. And a lot of times what it is just a quieter, persistent kind of just tap on the shoulder, just a reminder of a way you could do something, or a way you could be, or something you could bring into the world. And it's the persistence of the intuition that is the thing. It's the insistence. It's the fact that it doesn't go away, or that it keeps returning. That way we know that we're connected with a sense of our intuitive self. So I encourage you to figure out what those gifts and those desires are, those intentions are for yourself, and to work to manifest them softly in the universe. The other thing about that is when we manifest them softly or manifest them lightly, sometimes we'll get a picture or a series of words or a feeling, what Eugene Gemlin calls a felt sense, of what it is that we're meant to do in our lives. And that sometimes is more important than these big kind of, you know, extreme kind of intention settings. Our culture really encourages us to set intention in this way that is so bold and that takes our hero's journey so literally, right? So that if we don't manifest, like on a Tuesday with chocolate sprinkles, you know, we feel like we did something wrong or we weren't manifesting right. When in actuality, if we just hold our desires in our imagination and hold and have more awareness about what our creativity looks like, what our dreams look like, and get really, really clear about what it is we're mirroring to the universe will mirror it back. So I really encourage you to do that. Oh, I think I kind of lost my train of thought. So anyway, Deb Wright on December 11th will be on. Deb Wright is a CBUS native, and she just opened a wonderful business called Our Wellness, which is off of High Street in between Beachwald and Worthington. And she does all sorts of body work, energy work, cranial sacral I had a treatment with her, and I was just amazed to find out the way that she works. She was working on my feet, and she knew that one foot needed something different than what the other foot needed. So she does not have a one-size-fits-all approach. And so I encourage you to check her out, and she'll be sharing her vision for her business, and she'll also be sharing, which that's so fun, right, as a small business owner. It's so fun to share the pieces that have come to manifest and to share your vision of what your office looks like and what your space looks like and what kind of people you're setting your intention to draw. And that's just such a fun conversation for business owners to have. And I'm sure you out there who are entrepreneurs who are doing this work and bringing yourself into the world in this way will really, really appreciate that. So check her out. She will be on air with me on December 11th. So I guess I just am going to talk here a bit. I do have a guest scheduled tonight. I'm not sure if maybe we got our wires crossed. If that happened, you know, I'm kind of coming to the place here with this whole process where I'm just trying to let things go and just allow what shows up for spirit to show up. So, you know, if she's not on tonight, we'll have her on another night. She will be on eventually, and she may be on tonight. We'll see if we got our wires crossed. But I'm just, like, really trying in my life to just allow things to show up the way that they do, you know. And if someone cancels or reschedules or if there's a lot of shifting, just to let it be and not to get alarmed about it. I came from a family that was much more rigid in terms of the way that they wanted things to show up in the world, and it can cause a lot of consternation for people. They can lose a lot of energy when the universe doesn't respond in kind just the way that they imagine that it should. And that's an example of holding something like wanting something to manifest on Tuesday with chocolate-covered sprinkles, right? So it's really, really, it'll happen when it's meant to happen. So I guess that I'm just going to talk about some things that have been going on in my life and some high points of what my journey has been like recently. I've been super, super, duper busy. Have had a lot of clients just come in the door and have had been so honored to work with such wonderful folks who are so inspiring. And, you know, Edward Edinger says we can't take a client further than we've gone ourselves. So some of these clients have been, you know, I mean, they've encouraged me to look into different topics and to educate myself around different ideas and to work with different archetypes that maybe wouldn't be in the room if it were just the room I was in. But since it's a consultation room, you know, what shows up there is my work as well. So that's kind of fun because anybody who does this kind of work knows that that we take the journey of our clients as well, and so that helps us open up in different ways and into different worlds and arenas that we might not normally touch upon or find on our own. So that's a really, really cool thing. And I've been just honored to work with some just wonderful, wonderful people who are finding their way. And that's helped me to hold my own vision more lightly as well. And I really believe that when we hold our vision lightly, right, when we allow play into our lives and we allow a deepening awareness into our lives, we open our empathy in a larger way. And then the universe wants to play with us as well. So I really believe that holding these energies lightly as opposed to being so strict in terms of the way that we're manifesting is really the key to seeing that quantum field, that quantum energy manifest faster in our lives. So that's a really nice thing for folks who come from a family, you know, like a lot of us probably do, where, you know, if you weren't manifesting 24/7 or you weren't doing it the way somebody else said to do it, you know, then you weren't doing it at all and you were super ultra responsible for that. So kind of it encourages you to be more playful. I mean, it doesn't mean you're not responsible toward what it is you're trying to do, but to just be more playful out there in the world. And that that will allow that manifestation to just speed up and to be much more playful with you. So that's been really, really a lot of fun. I just recently did a show at Phoenix Books with my sacred bracelets, and that was a lot of fun because I got to put together this slide presentation of all the bracelets that I've designed, and I am not a very techie girl, so I had to keep doing it again and again and again because I didn't understand that my computer wouldn't put them in the right order, right? It doesn't say anything like this, that you have to put 001, 002, 003 on all your pictures and order them in a certain order. And when you do that, then they stay in place. So I did it, I think, probably five times for 143 pictures, and they kept moving around. And I, you know, because I am a Leo sun with an Aries moon, so I have a lot of fire. My Mercury is in Leo. That means that, you know, we can kind of push the envelope a lot. So I had imagined or thought in my head that what was really going on was that I had put one too many photos in, and that made it shuffle them. So I was trying to pay attention, and I was all very, very, you know, very focused on paying attention to how many photos I could put in there, and they just kept shuffling and shuffling. Well, it didn't have anything to do with how many photos you put in there. It had to do with numbering them so that the computer knew what the system was. But it was kind of fun because doing it so many times, I really internalized the points of my presentation. So that was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun, and now I have this slideshow for who knows what. I mean, I don't know what I'll use it for, but I have it prepared, and I can send it out. And that's always nice to start to make your own products. And just, you know, I don't know what will happen with it, but it's fun to have it out there in the world. So that happened. And then, let's see, I'm trying to think of what else happened recently. Oh, then I had a client come to me, and it was just so fun. I came for a reading, and what I always tell people when they come for readings, you know, I always say, let me know what you would like your focus to be for the reading. Well, again, I'm holding that lately, so I don't expect them to say love and, you know, and career. I mean, they can say those things, and of course people do all the time, but a lot of times I will encourage them, if they're kind of balk at that or are like, oh, well, I don't know, to just share an image or a theme or a feeling that's showing up, because, you know, that's how we connect with our own intuition, and it is my hope that when someone works with me, that they're not only connecting with my vision of what's going on, my inspiration and my insights for them, but they're connecting with their own as well. So a great way to start that process is to get that energetic matching out there, right? So if I have some awareness of what they're working on a quantum level, and Jung talks about this idea that our healing lies with the image. There's a great quote by him, which I'm going to go to my Facebook page now and see if I can find that quote, because it's just such a wonderful, rich quote. So let me find that quote right now. And let's see here. That quote, which is a wonderful quote, is, see, here it is. The symbol is the middle way along which the opposites flow together in a new movement, like a watercourse bringing fertility after a long drought. So the idea is that when a client comes for a reading or for counseling and they have a certain symbol that's speaking to them, that's their way to engage what's going on in their life. That's the way to engage the content of what's going on in their life. So that's a really, really cool thing. And so I encourage clients when they come to me to just share like a symbol, because that can be a really, really, really wonderful thing. Now, I think that maybe, knock on wood, Heather is here. Let's see if this is her. Hi, Heather.
Yes. Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm okay considering Mercury. Considering Mercury's retrograde, and I've had many flub ups today, including maybe not seeing the right time on the clock.
That's okay. No worries. I've been just chatting about working with images and some other stuff, and I figured if you got here, you'd get here, and if you didn't, we would reschedule, because sometimes that happens. So it's all good.
Well, when you look at the clock and say, I'm on in an hour, and then you double take and say, oh, my God, I should be on now.
I know.
I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. So I wanted folks, I guess for folks who have been listening, I'm just going to switch gears because our guest is here. This is Heather Horton. She's from Paramania Radio. She has a wonderful show called the Heather Horton Air Hour, which I was privileged to be on a couple weeks ago. And she is an astrologer and an astrological life coach. So, Heather, one of the things that I always ask people when they're on the show is, this is a career journey is kind of off the beaten path. Would you say that this preoccupation, this, astrological interest, did you find it or did it find you?
Oh,
how
it
would
found
you
me.
Describe that? It found
well,
you.
Well, it found
Can
me,
you?
100%. And then, you know, once... I'll give you a little background
as far as my
adult career life is concerned. I spent the entire decade of my 20s in corporate finance. I was an account executive. I carried a briefcase, wore high heels, and a suit, and wined and dined clients. And so, you know, it took me hitting 29, 30, my Saturn return, for everything to fall apart, including my marriage and my career, and which led me back to what I had always had passion for anyway. It was metaphysics, specifically astrology. So, and upon studying my chart thoroughly, you know, astrologer and someone in broadcast media is right down my alley.
Awesome. Very cool. So when you started on that journey with your Saturn return, did you embrace it fully, or was it kind of like steps and back steps, or did you just do it whole hog? How did that manifest?
Saturn spanked me really, really hard. Saturn said, you are on the wrong path, and I will eliminate all obstacles in your way. Well, you know, that sounds nice, eliminating the obstacles from a metaphysical standpoint. But then when it comes to the third dimensional reality, you know, it was hard. It was hard.
Sure.
I had just had my second baby and then was filing for divorce. So that took a toll on everything, and in reflection, it's the best thing that ever happened to me was hitting that Saturn return and going through all that pain to send me on this path and rebuild my life and teach my children, you know, to follow mm-hmm. their dreams. What kind of mother would I have been saying, follow your dreams, follow your dreams. I'm going to go over here and do the slave job that I hate so I can buy you an iPad, but follow your dreams. You know, it doesn't work.
Right.
We have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that whole dark night of the soul, it's always hard when we're in it, but usually it's a huge gift because it opens something up that is so much richer for us, you know?
Indeed. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. So for folks who don't know what the Saturn return is, let's just start there. What is the Saturn return, Heather, and how does that show up
well,
in a chart?
The Saturn return. Saturn is the planet of restriction and limitation. It's karma and wisdom. It's lessons. And when Saturn takes Saturn 29 and a half years approximately, so about 30 years, to make a full cycle around the sun, just like, you know, here on Earth, it takes us 12 months to make a full cycle. It takes 30 years to make a full cycle. So through all the signs mm-hmm. of the zodiac. And when it returns to the spot from from our birth, where it was when we were born. This is, it's the coming of age cycle, okay? And Saturn, you know, if you don't know, Saturn, in my opinion, I haven't heard anyone else refer to him this way, but I like to call him the God of the Old Testament. You know, he can be wrathful and punishing, and he forces you to humble yourself before him. And if you learn the lessons before you, you will gain wisdom and you will be advanced to the next level, but not without the blood, sweat, and tears. And that's what the seven returns cycle is reflective on. Now, we can find this as well in basic psychology. Just removing the astrology altogether, in psychology, it is also considered the coming of age time at age 30. So we look at those parallels. But, yeah, Saturn's no joke. Saturn's the heavy, you know. Saturn is about limitations, boundaries. It's about reality. It's about the third dimension. And, frankly, I like Saturn because you can build with Saturn. You can create and manifest in the third dimension with Saturn. But you have to know or understand, I suppose, what you're working with. You know, you're working with a planetary energy that wants you to work really, really hard. This is not like Jupiter. Jupiter will just sprinkle gold dust all over you all day long. So that's my quick Saturn, long-winded, actually, Saturn spiel.
Awesome. So what are the aspects that are coming up right now, Heather, that people are, experiencing?
We're experiencing a lot, that's for sure.
I know. I feel it.
everybody's feeling it. Those that say, what are you talking about? I want to smack them across the face. Are you kidding? You got to be feeling some of this.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're sensitive or not. So, for starters, since we're already on Saturn, you know, Saturn's in Scorpio. Scorpio rules the underworld. You know, Scorpio is deep and intense, and it's mysterious and sexual and secretive and deals with anything of the underworld, you know, including occult practices, meaning anything that's hidden. It's in mutual reception. Its ruling planet Pluto is actually in Capricorn, and Saturn happens to rule Capricorn, so we've got a little flip-flop going on there. That amplifies the energy for both planets. The veil is very, very, very thin during Scorpio energy period. Scorpio, people born under the sign of Scorpio already know this. You know, they already feel, they already know they're different. They already know they experience more pain or maybe are able to feel pain at a deeper level than the rest of us.
Fantastic.
I'm sorry?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a water sign, so absolutely. And it's the deepest of them all. I happen to have a Scorpio child, so I'm witnessing it firsthand. So the veil is very thin already. When you know, that's why we have Halloween during the sun being in Scorpio. So now we have the sun in Scorpio. Not to mention we have Saturn in Scorpio at the moment. Granted, we are moving into Sagittarius this week. But while we're still here, I mean, we have the sun, we have the north node, we have Mercury, and we have Saturn all hanging out in Scorpio. I don't know what you've experienced, but I've noticed not only intense ringing in the ears and a shifting of the pitch and frequency or the tone of it, I've also noticed things are starting to materialize. And what I mean, like light beings.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are, but they're starting to materialize out of my peripheral, and it's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Things are, like, going really fast and materializing in ways that, like, you don't even know how, or it's just like, boom, there it is. And it's like all these things coming together that seem to take a lot of people to have happen too. Like, it seems to have a lot to do with community here on this end. Like, and I'm like, whoa, like, how did that happen? So,
Yeah, it's the reason I share this is because I know I'm not the only one experiencing this stuff, and it's not because I'm already sensitive, and it's not because or awake. It's not because I'm an astrologer. I mean, it's happening, the whole quickening, the whole awakening, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening on a global scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuff can be kind of dark during the Scorpio. I mean, it's a journey into the underworld, and that's where we are right now. And with Saturn being there, granted, the sun's going to leave, and it's going to move into jolly Sagittarius, which I happen to be. We go into Sagittarius. Oh, no wonder, because I'm looking at the wrong calendar. There we go, the 21st. So we go in tomorrow. At 4:50 p.m. So it can fluctuate year to year, 20, 21st, 22nd, depending on the sun and the month and the cycle. But so what do we do when the sun enters Sagittarius? I mean, Sagittarius ruled by Jupiter, Zeus. Zeus was a big party guy. He liked to have a bunch of feasts and entertain. And, you know, he was known for being a slob, and hence that Sagittarius tend to be sloppy. I know I am. Stains on everything. And what's the first thing we do when the sun enters Sagittarius is we have a feast. We have Thanksgiving.
So are those placements, do they happen the same every year?
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, so what happens when the sun enters Scorpio? We have Halloween. And then what happens when the sun enters Sagittarius, we have Thanksgiving. So is there something that's fixed in the zodiac where at those times of year, those astrological glyphs, those astrological energies show up?
You know, just going off of basic sun sign astrology, yeah, if you follow the sun cycle, if you just follow that in tropical modern Western astrology. We can start, you know, like I said, with the sun in Scorpio, since that's where we are now. And as soon as the sun enters there, bam, within 5 days, there's Halloween. And then the next day is All Saints Day. So we go into the underworld with Halloween, and we transform and rise again for All Saints Day, right? So that's very Scorpio.
Right.
Transformation. Then the sun moves into Sag, yeah, and then we have the big feast, and it's a whole month of parties. I mean, that's all people do in December is party, right? So very Sag, get drunk, who cares, jolly goodness, the year's about over. And then we move in, you know, we hit the winter solstice at the 21st of December, and then we move into Capricorn. Well, Christmas happens to fall during the sun at Capricorn, and if we look back into pagan history, that was originally named Saturnella, and this is when the people got together and gave each other gifts. Specifically, slaves received gifts for all their hard work for the year. So, and you decorate the pint, you know, you decorate a tree, the evergreens, because they remained green, you know, so it was symbolic of new life. So you honored them by presenting gifts under the tree and decorating the tree. So, I mean, it's cool stuff when you start going through it all. You know, Valentine's Day, I don't know if we can make any direct correlations there. It would be more of a Piscean holiday than because of the romance, but it falls during Aquarius, you know. And then we come to the spring equinox when the sun enters Aries, and we have the lamb, you know, the birth, the lamb of God, whatever you want to call it. And we have the spring buds. During Taurus, the sign of Taurus, we have Mother's Day, which is very appropriate because the moon, which is representative of the mother, when it's in the sign of Taurus, it is exalted. It's almost like princess land, and we have Mother's Day during that time. You know, by the time we hit Cancer, the summer solstice, we're having family time. Cancer represents the family, so you're having big graduations and picnics and reunions. And then we come all the way back around, you know, we've got Leo. I know during during these months there's different Catholic celebrations that mirror the astrological calendar. I don't know about the other faiths.
To the Assumption and all that.
Yes. So, you know, Virgo comes around the time of the harvest, and about during Virgo is usually when you'll see the farmers out, at least here in the Midwest, you know, starting to work on harvesting their corn and wheat.
Sure.
So whatever path the sun's following, we mirror that, at least in our northern hemisphere.
Very cool.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in a nutshell. So it does sound like those astrological energies do show up at a certain time, and they're always indicative of that time. So Scorpio always comes around and is the sun sign right at Halloween. Because I don't know much about astrology. I know a lot about a bunch of other stuff, and I know a fair amount of astrology just from memorization. But when it comes to understanding how it all works and how to a horoscope and all of that, it's not a strength of mine for sure. So it's interesting to hear that there's some fixities to it, you know.
Indeed. Again, in modern Western or tropical astrology, we have those seasonal, tropical astrology or Western astrology is seasonal. And very in line with our Western culture. So, you know, you can go to the Eastern or to India is a great example, where things are sitting.
Vedic astrology?
Vedic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which feels
how's
more.
That? What, how's that function?
I don't know. I don't study Vedic.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
But, you know, at the end of the day, from my understanding, regardless on if you have a Western astrologer or a Vedic astrologer read your chart, even though there is a processional shift in the sign energy, the reading will come out the same. I haven't been read by a Vedic astrologer.
Interesting, huh? So if you were just going to kind of do a rundown of the different planets and what they entail or hold energetically, like what does Mercury hold, what does Jupiter hold, that sort of thing, and how do they work in relationship with the actual placement in the chart, I guess. I guess it's a lot, sorry.
But you're all right.
I
have little feet that keep passing by, slightly distracting me as well. So, we'll start with the sun, and I'll take you through our solar system as we understand it. You know, the sun is our ego, our light and life force. It's our will, willpower, and that's why so many people gravitate towards things like sun sign astrology columns, because we are ego identified in our culture, and so that resonates with people. It's the sun. It's the sun. You're a Leo. You know the sun is the center of the universe. You know everything revolves around the sun, and it's a beautiful energy. You know, it rules Leo, and Leo rules creativity. And children, you know, so that creative child energy, it's all about life. You know, when you look at little kids that are happy and playing and being creative in their own right, that's just a ball of light, you know. You know, we move into the moon, which would be the next thing to look at. The moon is representative of our shadow side, or emotions and our habitual nature. Mother is also represented through the moon. Women are represented through the moon. And the moon rules Cancer. So, and Cancer is all about home and family, all about nurturing, all about the emotions, all about caring, all about moodiness, You know, the moon's changing signs every 2.5 days, and it's changing its phase state. So there's always a shift going on. So our moon is that habitual side of us that is shifting and subconsciously reacting to the environment, or habitually reacting to the environment. Mercury is Hermes in mythology. It rules Virgo and Gemini, and it's all about mental and mechanical communication. So our dexterities, as well as how we speak, how we interpret information, how we write. Mercury is currently retrograde, so I know in my world, I know in my world, let's see, brain function is a little off. I've been misspelling everything. I stumble over my words when I speak. I've been misunderstood quite often in the last week. So, you know, Facebook locks up, emails get lost, sent to the wrong person. I mean, that's all Mercury retrograde type of stuff. Let's see, so Mercury, Venus. Venus is love, art, beauty, possessions, money. It's all about pleasure. Venus is all about pleasure. So, and it rules the signs of Taurus and Libra. You know, Taurus is about worth. So that's where we find the fine dining and the beautiful gardens and luxurious fabrics. And in Libra, you know, we find relationship love and partnership and pleasure in that regard. Companionship. So we move into Mars. Mars is ruled by Aries. Mars is action, aggression, energy. It's what gets us moving. This is where we blow up. This is where we're aggressive. This is where we're passionate. This is where we take charge. This is where we go into something head first. And Aries resonates with that completely. It's an extremely masculine archetype, while Venus is an extremely feminine archetype. Let's see, Jupiter. I mean, what can I say? It's the gold dust, you know. It's all about good fortune and abundance and expansion. It can be excessive as well. Let's see, Jupiter. Saturn is next. Saturn, which I said when I got on here with you, is about lessons and wisdom and karma and building hard work. And it rules Capricorn, and Capricorn understands this more than anybody. You know, it can lead to some pessimism, which is part of what Capricorns are here to learn about. You know, it's all about that hard climb up the mountain of success, and that's what Saturn represents. Uranus rules modern, you know, astrology. It rules Aquarius. And it's all about shaking things up. It's all about getting the people together and throwing some electricity in the mix and seeing what happens. It's energy of, it's a higher octave of Mercury. So it's extreme, lightning fast in the left. It's revolutionary. It's rebellion. It's excitement. It's all things that you would consider alien or different. Aquarius is the, I call it the rebellious humanitarian, the ruled by Uranus. Neptune is spirituality, higher consciousness, the subconscious, the imagination, fantasy, illusions, and delusions. So, this is where things are foggy. This is where things aren't fully materialized. They're vague in nature or vast in nature. They're real Pisces. You know, Pisces is that intuitive healer. You know, Pisces is escapism. So we find that as well with Neptune. And there's Pluto. You know, Pluto's a powerhouse. And I know you're a Leo. I know you're the center of the universe. I gotta tell you, Pluto people, Scorpio, gives you a run for your money.
That's totally true. I would say for about 8 years of my life, if I found out someone was a Scorpio, I wouldn't have anything to do with them anymore. They have, in my life, given me a rent for my money. It's totally true. And now
truly,
I'm very, very
truly spoken by a Leo. You know, it's, they square each other. Leo is fought, fixed fire, and Scorpio's fixed water. And there is a 90-degree angle between the two of them, which is a lot of tension. You know, I joke. People, you know, the mainstream folks say, well, what do you do about Pluto now that he's no longer a planet? Pluto likes not being a planet, okay? Because that gives Pluto way more power to be sneaky behind the scenes and erupt things, you know? This is destructive laser energy. This is the life, death, and rebirth process. This is all things that are powerful, mysterious, and intense, and sexual, and, you know, everything that represents Scorpio. So that's my run-through on the planet.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So then what are the squares and the trines and the quincunxes, whatever that is, that word is, but what are those, and how do those affect the different planets?
And is that how I want to explain?
Are these okay questions I'm asking?
Well, you know, when things are, I can just give a basic astrology lesson, you know. When you're working with the elements, fire, earth, air, and water, you know, I like to explain to people, if you remove one of those elements, we can't function. You know, all four, fire, earth, air, water, which then in turn means all signs are necessary. So the fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. So fire represents inspiration and attention. You know, it's in warmth. It's so easy to get hooked on a fire, you know. Think about a fire in your fireplace or in your yard or, you know, you see that, or even just a candle burning, that flame can be so mesmerizing. And fire signs have that way, you know. I happen to be a Sag, so I've got the Jupiter, the big gassy planet. So, you know, big joke over here, we're full of hot air, which is pretty true. You know, Aries is Mars energy, Mars fire, so it's quick and aggressive. It's like fireballs. Leo is fixed fire, so we have the sun, you know, the ever-burning, always-burning, never-going-out sun. And Sag, like I said, is Jupiter. It's that big gas ball, so it can get really big, and then it can kind of come down and have little burning embers, and it can grow again. The Earth people are Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. Earth is all about the third dimension. It's fixed reality. You know, it's all your senses are used with the Earth people, including the six. But they're the grounded, practical, realistic sign. You know, in Taurus, we find physical beauty. In Virgo, we find logic. We have the analytical mind, and in Capricorn, we find structure and achievement, and the building of things. The air signs, air is Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. The air signs are all about intellect and communication, and in Gemini, I refer to Gemini as the curious communicator. So this is the sign that asks questions and networks everyone, you know. And then we come to Libra. So that's all about communication, right? So then we come to Libra, and Libra's communication is all about the other person. How are you doing today? And what do you enjoy? And so there's this intellectual dance that happens with Libra. And then Aquarius is the mad scientist energy. You know, this is the amplification of the mind, and this is where we have our inventor. So that's your air. Water, your water people are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And water is all about our emotions and feeling. And the the subconscious areas that are attached to our emotions. So Cancer, you know, deals with the caring, the loving, the nurturing, the emotions involving home and family. Then we come to Scorpio, and Scorpio is the feeling and the emotions and the depth of intimacy, you know, including physical sexual union. And then in Pisces, we have the feeling and the emotions of heightened spirituality, you know, in the subconscious mind that materializes for those people. You know, the Pisces people, they're much more advanced spiritually than the rest of us, whether they're aware of it or not. So they're very sensitive. So that's kind of the elements broken down. When you take a sign in your same element, you are trine. It's called a trine.
Oh.
You're trine.
Okay.
Which is good. Okay. So if you're a fire person and you are conversing with another fire person, there's harmony there. Trine is harmony. All in the same element. Also in your favorable element. So you become sextile, which is also harmonious and favorable. What would those be? So if we break down the four elements again, fire, earth, air, and water, fire and air are compatible. Earth
right.
and water are compatible. And if you take nothing else from the show tonight, listeners, this is the most important part. I tell people this is the basic level. If you understand just those four basic elements and understand the compatibility or the conflict between them, you will get along or understand other people much better. For example, if you take a fire and an air person, fire warms air. Air makes fire burn. Harmony. Okay? If you take a water and earth person, put them together. Water makes earth grow, and earth contains water. Okay? It gives it a form, gives it a place to be safe. So there's harmony there. Now when we cross, let's say you take earth and fire together. I'm not saying an earth and fire person can't be together, right, as far as friends or lovers or what have you. But it does take special understanding. There's more challenge there with the energy, because what would fire do to earth? It would burn it. You know, it would burn down its trees. And what does earth do to fire? If you toss dirt on a fire, you're going to put it out. So it's those kind of dynamics. Or fire and water, same idea. Fire would make water boil, and water puts out fire. Air... In my personal opinion, I find that air people actually kind of get along with everybody. I think it's because they're more intellectual and more about communications and they know how to maneuver, but they are more harmonious with fire. I mean, with, you know, with water, it's likely to stir the water up, you know, hurricane.
What would you say to someone who's
blow down the trees. For the earth people.
I'm missing, I don't have any air in my chart at all. None. Zilch nada. None. And I've worked really, really hard on air kinds of issues in my life, and actually I think have done a lot to balance those energies. But what would you say to someone who doesn't have one of the elements in their chart? Like, what can they do, or what kind of, you know, obstacles will they face?
That's a good question. And here's why. Because as far as the natal chart's concerned, we have all 12 signs. We have all 10 planets. Yes, the sun and the moon are considered planets in astrology. So we have all that. We embody everything. So when you say you have no air in your chart, I'm interpreting that as you have no planet.
No planets in air, right.
You know, some of us like to say no planets, no problem. It's something you've mastered previously. So, I'll use myself as an example. I joke that I have no I have no Virgo energy in my chart. I know. I mean, I do happen to have it in my eighth house, which does happen to roll sex. But I am crazy attracted to Virgo energy. Just on that kind of physical level, wow. I mean, male, female, not even in a sexual sense. Just I can get around a Virgo and go, wow. That energy I'm really attracted to. But as far as in my own life, I just painted a wall yesterday and got paint all over the ceiling, all over the floor, and I just kind of wiped it up, like a good sag, and say, whatever. I have no Virgo planets. I have, I lack attention to detail. Terribly lack it. So I think, I know in my personal life, I tend to gravitate towards those people to help teach me or bring me the eye for detail that I still miss. What would you do? I mean, without having air in your air planets or powerful air in your chart, no, I mean, you're on the radio, so you are operating you some air energy.
Right, it's
prominent. You know, in my opinion, if you don't have planets in the area, there's not a whole lot of focus for you in this life in that area.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, let's see here. We've just got about 4 more minutes, and I want to make sure that people can get a hold of you for readings and for life coaching and all of that. So I guess now would be the time to share that information, Heather.
You my big plug.
Yeah.
that time. Well, I do host the Heather Horton Hour, which is live on iTunes, also via the TuneIn app, Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's Paramania Radio. It would be what you're looking for if you are going to listen through iTunes. ParamaniaRadio.com, live 8 p.m. Saturday night. And I have an array of guests from all over the globe. Some shows are call-in, some are not. Have to tune in and find out. My website is indigolifedesigns.com or indigolifeastrology.com. Both will get you to the same website. You can see who the guest is for the week. You can check some things out. I just launched a YouTube show, Indigo Life the Show. So that video is on there. I also have recommended videos as well as other radio programs I've been on. So all that's on my website, indigolifeastrology.com or indigolifedesigns.com. And you can email me. I prefer that as far as scheduling an appointment for a private session. My sessions run 2 hours in length, Skype, phone, or in person. I can do email. I prefer not to. I am in graduate school for mental health counseling, so I use the astrology with that kind of understanding. And we get into some good, deep stuff in sessions. And, you know, if you're looking to really get to know yourself and honor yourself, love yourself for who you really are, this is a wonderful way to do it. I forgave myself for things that I thought maybe I was flawed in or that I wasn't like everybody else, you know, and that's the programming our society gives us. So, you know, doing my own chart allowed me to go, it's okay. And I'm like this. I was born under these stars. So, I could go into a whole biblical reference with being born under certain stars. But
just got one more minute, so we don't have time to write. But
with every client, here are my bragging rights. I have yet to not have a client cry, and not that I enjoy people crying, but when you get to that point, you know. You just know that you spoke to them on a soul level, on a true level, and that they're changed, you know, from an amazing session. So,
absolutely. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate you being on, and thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and all your energy and stuff.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so sorry Mercury retrograde. We'll blame him.
It's okay. Take care, Heather.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye.
Sure thing. Bye.
The joke was on me. I got a
whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, because that's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks for listening, and share your shiny face with Insights Radio. Talk to you next week. Bye.